He came out of the house. Is that right?
Yeah.
Why didn't he? Give me a... when is my thematic? Half hour, right? I heard your message here a couple weeks ago. Good message. What's this stuff? I thought about this a couple days now, about what I was talking about you know, the different aspects of what stuff, this stuff. I did mine a long time ago, and recently I just helped a guy that I sponsor work this stuff. Actually, both of them. I didn't listen to this stuff. His stuff. I didn't come up with somebody else. I got to think about a couple different aspects of that. And is there a reason for the fourth and fifth step? You know, I felt before I did it that I needed to do it, or something was going to happen. Yeah. Whenever I came into this program, I was too scared to use and too scared not to use. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted whenever I came in here. After I got into this program, started working with the program in North Valley, Vermont, under sponsor direction, there was this desperate need, this desire, that I felt like I had to do it or I was going to use. It was scary because I heard worse stories about it from people around me, and how horrible it was, and how you felt like shit after you did it, and how long. That was a big one. I heard people talking about doing this four step like for a long time. The reason why I needed to do it was because I had so much stuff that I carried with me into the program from my active addiction, you know. And a lot of it was unintentional. You know, I thought about this from all the way up here today. A lot of the stuff that I did and a lot of the characteristics that I took on, a lot of the defects that I have or had to deal with in the fourth step, I acquired out there. It wasn't anything that I intended to have. I didn't want to be stealing off people. I never intended on hurting anybody. I never intended on feeling the pain from hurting somebody. You know? But it happened after a while. And then it became habitual. My use became habitual to get rid of that pain. You know? So a lot of stuff, my behaviors and actions was a result of how I felt inside. And how I felt inside was real. At one time, I might have been able to clarify it, but whenever I was out in my addiction, I didn't know what the heck was going on in there. All I knew was that it was painful, and I didn't want to deal with it. And I needed a break, more so than anything. It wasn't about like trying to pain or anything. I needed a break from it. I needed a break from having to think about all this stuff happening. And if I used, I was okay with me and you and everything that was going on at the time. I always overachieved that, and it never really worked. You know, I always felt it later on. Before I came into the rooms, I had a lot of stuff that I not only hurt people in my active addiction, I hurt people trying to get clean too. You know, my efforts at trying to stay clean, I tried a lot of different ways to get clean that never really worked. One time I thought I could control the way I drank. If you had to drink when it was the right temperature outside, you know, because whenever I went into the bar, drank a sip of whiskey, walked outside, and I blacked out. It was cold outside, you know. I remember everything that happened while I was in the bar. I thought if I could find that right temperature to where the same temperature inside as it was outside, that was the answer. It was the weather. So I tried that. That didn't work. You know? The more extreme way that I went with it was I knew that I needed to stop using. Wasn't sure how that was going to happen. I thought I needed my wife back at the time. And so I went and filed for custody of my children. Now, at the time, I had got a couple of DUIs, and I had a lawyer for that, so I had used the same lawyer for a divorce lawyer and a custody lawyer. Don't do that shit. So they do some underhanded stuff. And I had two daughters, and I have two daughters. I still have two daughters. And I had them at the time because I was on vacation from work. And I went and went to this attorney, and he reversed the order around the custody order on paper, and I was supposed to mail it to my ex-wife and have her sign it. Now, the reason why I needed to get custody of these kids, because that was the only way she was going to come back. You know, she wasn't going to come back because I was a good person or anything like that. You know what I mean? She was going to come back. I figured she was going to come back if I could manipulate, con her into coming back, and this is the way I could do that. So it wasn't about the girls at all. You know, I had ulterior motives there, and I just took this paper up to her, and she sent it back a couple of days later, fine. So I told her, what in the hell's the matter with her? I went through a whole lot of feelings. One was, what am I going to do with two daughters? What the hell am I going to do with them? I can't even take care of myself, let alone them. How am I, like, what, one was in diapers, for Christ's sake. What am I going to do? I was an active victim. I had distorted my love affair with cash and pain. How am I going to deal with all this stuff? And the other one was, how could she just walk out on them? How could she just give them up? I get home after, towards the end of my active addiction. That was the end, the bottom for me, where I decided that I was walking out of their life. You know what I mean? Because it was either using or it was them. And I knew I couldn't stop. You know, my efforts at using them as pawns to stop using didn't work. I mean, I used them for 3.5 years after all that. And their life was hell, mine was too. And everybody else was around me was. And you know, through all that, I hurt people, you know. And the thought adapted in such a way that whether I was using it or not, I was going to hurt you. Not intentionally. And I hated it whenever I did it, but I couldn't help it. So whenever I come in here and they said about doing the fourth step, or he was going to use again, it scared the hell out of me. Because I had stopped for a short period of time here with the help of Narcotics Anonymous and doing some of the stuff. I had stopped. I couldn't figure out why the hell it was working. Boy, you know, there's no way that you could have convinced me that sitting down, drinking coffee, talking to you was going to work. There's no way that's going to work. None. After the extremes that I went to stop using, how the hell is this going to work? You know, and I thought she was nuts. But after I believed it, after I experienced it, after I seen how it was working, what had happened, I went to a meeting. I'd been going to meetings for some time. And in one night, not knowing it then, but towards preparing myself to take the fourth step, I had been to some meetings and experienced the first, second, and third step. And it became real simple for me. You know, you hear people say most people miss recovery by 8 inches, peer to peer. And that's what happened for me prior to doing the fourth step. It clicked. You know, you hear people saying it clicked or something happened and all that. Well, that's what happened in recovery. I finally wanted to stay clean, and it made sense. It became real simple. First step, I don't pick up. You just don't use. It's that simple. Now, some days it's not that hard. It's not that simple. Now, I feel like using, so I got to use the second step. I use you. You know, and the third step, pray. Ask for help. You know, and that's as simple as it gets. Boy, I can complicate the hell out of it. You know, but what happened was I believed that. That was the difference. That's whenever I need to move on. A whole lot of stuff was catching up with me. Now, at this time, I had about 9 months clean. And here's the other part of the fourth and fifth step, time. You know, well, it's a big debate. And it can go either way at any time about when you should do a fourth step and a fifth step. I don't have an answer for that. All I know is if you're feeling like shit and you do the fourth and fifth step, if you had the same experience that I had, you'll feel better and you might not check out. Yeah, I don't know when is the right time. What I know is I felt a whole lot of relief whenever I did stop. Now, whenever I was in rehab, they had to do what they call a para fifth step. What the hell that is, I'll never know. It's my first program. But I went in and I'm sitting there like you in this rehab and this truck went up there and it has my name on, so I gotta go do this para fifth step. That's why something's wrong with that. I'm not doing that. And this is with Father Max. And I'm really not going to talk to no priest. There's no way he wants to hear anything I have to say. So I went to the counselor. I said, you know what? I said, something's wrong here. I said, just put my name up there. That ain't right. And he said, oh, yes, it is. You got to go do this fifth step. I said, well, what am I going to do there? And he said, well, you need to go back there and talk to this priest. I said, I can't do that. I'm not Catholic. I'm not Catholic. I can't talk to this priest. So I get back and he told me, this is about you telling me all your secrets. Okay. Well, what I told him was how I wanted to kill my ex-wife, I love my kids, but I couldn't take care of them, and all this stuff. I mean, there was some stuff there that was real. There was some defects that were real there, but there was a lot of it was what I thought about other people. You know what I mean? It didn't have a lot to do with me. It's what I thought about other people. But the little bit of stuff that I did let go in there, you know, I come out of there, and I walked through. They had the officers in the back, and I come through the back door into like where the community area was, and this wave of feeling hit me of transparency that I knew, everybody in that rehab knew exactly what I talked about back then. And I couldn't hide anymore. It was like, man, now I really feel like shit. How are you supposed to help you? You know, I felt real transparent. I thought, man, I couldn't even, you know, even the counselor, you know, I sit down, he called me a liar before I didn't even say anything. He called me a liar. I went to say something, he said, you're lying. I said, what happened? And I was. I was about ready to lie, you know? So, after I got into the program and I started, what I had to do, what my sponsor had me do, one of the biggest things that I can really share with you is an experience. From my experience, has been real beneficial is if you work your steps under sponsor's directions, you don't have to rework them again. If you work them without a sponsor's directions, you might need to like redo them. Okay, I did that with some of the steps. And it wasn't a good experience. What I had to do, I kept doing this stuff. You know, and in one instance where I was, this isn't just the ninth step, but I had to make amends for stealing a book from a meeting from another fellowship. And because they told you to read it. And I don't want anybody to know I'm reading it, so I stole it. You know, so nobody knew that I had it. Well, later on, I had to like make amends for that. And I kept buying this book instead of giving it to my counselor and telling him to give it to newcomers as they left, you know, thinking, well, that's going to make up for it. I ended up buying like $100 worth of these books, and instead of going through the rehab, and it never felt good, you know? Never felt like I ever really made a mess. Went to that meeting, took $5 out of my pocket, told the secretary, I stole a book off of you, some time ago. Here's the money for it. Felt transparent again, but you know what? I never had to do it again. I never bought another book to give to somebody like that in hopes to get rid of this stuff in me. Because that's what my sponsor suggested that I do. You know, the sponsor direction thing. In my experience is, you know, work your steps under sponsor's direction. And I still, I still throw stuff past my sponsor before I do it for the most part. I still do stuff and then say, hey, this is what happened. He don't want to hear what happened. He wants to know what's going on with me now. Yeah. That's what's going to help. The benefits of working with the fifth step with guys with your sponsor is real significant too. It reaffirms what happened here. What I found with the fifth step, I found out I always wondered why people would ask me, why do you use the way you do it? I could never give them an answer. I have not a clue why I do this. I just use. You know, and it's them people that make you lie. Because they say, what do you mean you don't know why? Then you start making up excuses. Tell them, well, if you had to live like I did, this is why you did. If you had to do this, this is why you did. If they believe me the first time, just whenever I said I have no idea, I wouldn't have to lie to them. And that happened. They wanted answers. Just as I wanted answers. They'd ask me, and I didn't know why. The ones know why. Well, whenever I did the fourth step, I found out why. I found out what fueled that fire. I found out what kept it going. I took the push-up on the sponsor's direction, and that was the first time, the first three steps seemed like it was this mind thing that happened, and understanding and all that stuff. The fourth step was the first time you picked up a pen and you wrote it down and felt like you were doing something. And I did it, and under sponsor's direction, and I don't know if there is the right way to write the four steps. The way I did it worked for me. My suggestion is talk to your sponsor to find out how your sponsor did it, because you want what your sponsor has, and that's probably the way you're doing it. My sponsor didn't make it real difficult for me. I need to keep things real simple. And so I wrote it, and I found out that I had a whole lot of pride, a whole lot of anger, a whole lot of fear, a whole lot of stuff that continued, that if I didn't take care of it, would give me a feel like these. And I found out that I use anger and to cover up a whole lot of stuff. And if I got mad or using, it covered that stuff up. But if I could deal with it in the earlier stages, I was a lot better off. Yeah. And how it was explained to me, like with this anger thing, I could never figure. Somebody said you get angry because of fear, and you react because of that fear. And I thought, man, I couldn't separate it until somebody had to like give me an example of what they were talking about. And they said, if you're walking outside of here, and like down to the bathroom, and a little chihuahua comes running out from the building, and, what's your first reaction? Mine is. But with the second one, and it happens almost instantaneously, and that's what I developed into through acquisition. I want a ticket. You know what I mean? It's like, bam. But the first reaction is that fear. You know? And if I can deal with the fear before I get into the anger, I'm okay. And that's what I found in the course of it. If I could deal with that stuff early on, I thought that, man, I had all these injustices against my ex-wife, and I could list them down like a lot of them. But to sum it all up, to make it real simple, the way I needed to do it was I had a resentment against it, just left, period. I had to look at my part in that. So I looked at my pride, I looked at my anger, envy, and all the stuff that goes with that. What I found out, pride is the biggest one for me. Pride was a huge thing. I was always worried about what other people thought about me. What I know today, whatever other people think about me is none of my business. If I know what you're thinking about me, it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to give me an ego, or it's going to piss me off. There's like hardly any in between there. There's hardly like any gray area. So if I don't know what you're thinking about me, I'm a hell of a lot better off. My pride moved me from the hometown that I was in, because I knew somebody was going to ask me how she was doing, because they knew us, And if they asked me how she was doing, I was going to feel this pain. And I couldn't deal with it. Nothing's changed. I still can't handle the pain coming into the program. But then I handled our use, And coming into this program and left you to these feelings without using is scary as hell, So I looked at all these different defects. And it was through again, I'm the sponsor director, and my sponsor didn't do my fist step with me. He said I needed to find somebody to do my fist step with, and Father Max, the guy that was on the board. I needed to find that same guy, because it says, and there's the gods for ourselves and to one another human being, not a couple different ones. I need to find, you need to do it. You don't want to carry this stuff around with you. Okay, now, in that, I finished my fourth step. When I went to a meeting, I didn't feel like shit. I went to a meeting, I thought I did it wrong, and I, whenever they asked the topic, I said, yeah, you know what, I have a topic today. I think I did my fourth step wrong because I don't feel like shit. And I really believe, honestly, seriously, I thought I had to feel like shit after doing my fourth step. That if I wasn't feeling bad, and I can remember doing that in active addiction, you know, whenever she left, I was like okay with it. But I thought people were going to have to expect me to feel like shit about it. So I'd get this country music out on the stereo, and so I thought she was right, you know? So there's real reason to feel like shit, you know? And so I thought I had to feel a certain way. Again, what other people think about me, you know? And whenever I heard people talking about how horrible the fourth step was, for some people it was. Now, what I did, I asked some people about this. I said, why don't I feel like shit? And one guy says, well, you know what? He says, whenever you was in rehab and you did this kind of stuff, you got through a whole lot of feeling. Remember that feeling of transparency? Well, that's what I could identify with then. You know what? I did get through some of that stuff back then. I mean, that's not like I had to reproduce that in order to do a third or fourth step. Okay? It says, searching and fearless. And that's what it was. Okay? So, I go on to this stuff, and I did find Father Max. And went in, and we was about 45 minutes into it, and he goes, I gotta get rid of it. This is something else. You know, I took my fourth step with me. That's what my responsibility is, to take your fourth step with you and go in and sit down and do your. And that's what and whenever he said that, he said, is there anything on there that's not repetitive? Because everybody that was on there, like it had this thing on there, like it was a pattern that I did this to everybody. You know, so he asked if there was anything on there that was different. I said, I looked down through it, and I said, well, no, there's just one other thing here, you know. And he said, okay, is there anything that you want to tell me that you didn't tell me before that's a secret? I said, no. He said, what was that? So I let everything out there that I thought was, that I felt like I had everything there, that he knew everything about me now. Again, what I felt after I left there, I did have a good feeling, and people describe it as like a weight lifted off and stuff like that. You know what I felt? I felt like I was a member of Narcotics Anonymous whenever I walked out to there. Like, okay, now, it was almost like a rite of passage, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I did this shit now. I felt like shit, now I'm part, now I can talk about how I felt like shit. You know what I mean? Basically, I felt like I did something in Narcotics Anonymous. I finally felt like a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Had it not been for the fourth of this step, I feel sure that I would have used. What ended up happening after that, you know, like the second and third day, after I took this fifth step, some shit that I forgot in my fourth step came up. Like, what the hell do you do with that now? You know what I mean? Like, I did do a searching and fearless moral inventory, but now stuff, like, I remembered stuff that was triggered. And I called my sponsor up. I said, what do I do with this? I did this, and this, and I did this fourth step, and I don't want to go through all this shit again. Well, you know, what do I do with it? And he said, you just did it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he said, you just did it. You just did it for stuff with me. You told me about it. So I haven't really had to do another fourth step with this stuff. Other than that, you know, talking with people and continuing that. My clean date, my clean date is December 6th, 1991. They didn't have How It Works and Why or that step working guide whenever I came in here. They didn't have it. So I got to thinking, maybe I should be doing the step working guide with my sponsor. And I know his sponsor was talking about it. And this is probably why I mean, because I need to work on that. I'm finishing up a master's degree in social work. finished up in April, so that's probably my next project. I've got too much on my plate right now. And life happens to me, you know, but I don't want to take that for granted. You know, I don't think I am, but I don't want to take it for granted. Fourth and fifth step has gave me an understanding of why I used the way I did. And as long as I keep tabs on that, I don't feel like using it. It pisses me off whenever I feel like using it, because I got to do something with it. I got to sign. I got to talk to somebody about it, go to a meeting and bring it up, and keep talking about it. I hate doing that shit. You know? I'd rather just go to meetings and like listen and be part of and not have to like work on an issue. But there's times, you know, whenever if I feel like using it, there's something going on with me. There's something going on with me that I'm unwilling to accept. You know, so I'm done. Thanks.
I'm Lance. I'm an addict. Thanks, Mike. Next speaker, this guy I've known for a long time, actually. Kind of ironic we all ended up in this room today. I got asked about a half hour ago, or a half hour before the meeting, and Bobby Rich, he's been a big part of my recovery, probably one of the guys that saved my ass a long time ago. You know, people just happen to do that. Just come into your life and you get rid of them. but with nothing more, I'll give you Rich from the Dormont Group in Pittsburgh, South Coast area.
I don't want to do this. Speaking on a topic is a hard thing to do. And, you know, what is really comforting is knowing that I have the privilege of being up here to speak on a topic after someone that's managed to not kick any chihuahuas in the time. That kind of helped me a little bit. And, I was at Kennywood the other day with my daughter. She's 9 years old. She's a little mouse. She's a little girl. And we were in that arcade thing, and she had these tickets that, you know, just all these tickets. And she finally learned that 150 million tickets get you a whistle. So, you know, and the line was pretty long. And she said, and I said to her, so what do you think you want to do with those tickets? And she said, well, I don't want to wait in that line. And I said, what are you going to do with the tickets? And she saw a really little girl over there. And she went over and she gave her all of her tickets. And now, you may be wondering what has to do with the fourth and fifth step. And the answer is absolutely nothing. I just want to say her name on this tape so I can buy the tape and play it back. I don't think I've ever been taped before, so I have to buy it. I've been going crazy for the last 2 days trying to, Steve and I were talking about it. When I have to speak on something specific, I cannot get any kind of momentum. I can't think of what I want to talk about. I mean, automatically my disease tells me you have nothing to say about this. I don't remember anything about it when I worked on my fourth and fifth step. And the reality of it is that once I get comfortable and I'm not nervous anymore, somebody's really going to have to tell me to sit down. Because I do not have any trouble talking. The fourth and fifth step, like it says in the book, was absolutely a turning point in my recovery. There's no two ways of saying that. And I got to say for me that the fourth and fifth step, I wasn't necessarily enjoying it. By the way, if that bird lands on top of my head, would somebody please let me know? Was it a bat? Yeah. All right, well, really bad. Because he's still here. Okay, so I will tell you how not to do the fourth step. Let's do that today, because I think that's probably more what I have to offer than the right way to do it, because I didn't do it that way. You know, and the funny part about it was, while I was writing the fourth step, all of the nastiest stuff that I could ever think of, the stuff that I knew I wasn't telling my sponsor, went on the first two pages. You know, and just went right on there. And I knew I wasn't telling anybody this stuff, but I was humoring my sponsor. And so it's on there, and it's the first two pages. And the rest of it, I did it chronologically. I went back as far as I could remember. Now, when I had a few years clean, it was probably, I probably had a year and a half or 2 years clean when I started writing it, or a year and a half probably. And I went back as far as I could remember, which was, I think, 7 or 8 years old. And so from 7 or 8 years old until the time I got clean, my four steps was about that thick, with really thin pages. Now, here's the interesting part. From the time that I got clean until the 2 years, until I had 2 years when I finished working right in the fourth step, those couple years were about that thick. So I guess I need to talk about patterns. And what the four step did for me was help me to develop, help me to understand the patterns that I've developed with this disease and that I've developed over a period of time, and find my way out of those patterns and see what the patterns did to me, what they did to the people around me. And it gave me a measuring stick to see how I responded to it then and how I respond to it now. And the kind of stuff that I'm talking about was, I believe for myself that I'm a product of my environment, and I did not grow up in a loving, nurturing environment, and so I had to seek my approval outside of my home, and I did that as recently as probably this week, but I don't do it as often as I used to. So you know, this is progress, and what I did all the time before I got clean, and for a long while after I got clean, was sought something outside of myself, even other than chemicals, to make me feel good. And what the chemicals did for me especially was gave me the ability to become the person I needed to be to act the part. You know, and that's what I did. I acted parts. And so the pattern was, the approval seeking was lying, pretending that I was something I wasn't, pretending that I could do something that I couldn't. It didn't matter. It was, I became a chameleon. I could fit into any situation that I had to deal with, and I did that with the use of chemicals. And so I was able to see that pattern. I was able to see that most of my dishonesty early on in life was because I wanted to be somebody other than who I was. You know, so that was a very important lesson. One of the other things that the fourth step taught me, because like Mike was talking about, there was no guides or how in my book when I got clean. I got clean in December of 1990, my sponsor gave me this raggedy-ass little yellow thing that you can still find them around, but I was not the first one to use that, I can tell you that. And so it kind of walked me through, and I looked at the same pamphlet, not the one I used, but a similar, you know, the working guide, a while ago, and that's brutal. That's a wicked, you know, and some of the things that makes you think about in there are absolutely wicked, and you know, but it was prime time when I was doing it, you know, and it was it didn't affect me that way when back then, and I mean, I was raw for a long time after I got here. How am I? Lance was my first sponsor. And, you know, that's funny. We're talking about the fourth and fifth step because I was doing some stuff I shouldn't have been doing, specifically with a woman. And, you know, Mike was talking about, like, this thing, and I was trying to measure. Well, hey, you know, Freddie said I got to be honest. I just watched Freddie talk about honesty. What am I going to do? So that was the difference for me for a while. And so while I was accumulating all this fourth and fifth step stuff, I was not telling my sponsor about it. I was not, you know, he was right. We were all there. And, you know, and we didn't speak any words about that. So I did the only thing I could do, and I fired him before I went my phone. Because I wasn't willing to talk to him about it after it was over either. God bless him. He's still sitting over there, shaking his head at me. And so I went through a difficult period in my life and made a few other people's lives difficult back when I was working my fourth and fifth step. And And I'm pretty sure I was pretty angry back at that point in my recovery. I had my torch up for a long time. And if you looked at a page that I wrote on and turned it over, you could have put like dusting powder on it and read it. I pressed so hard on the paper when I was writing that thing. I mean, I was tearing holes in this paper when I was writing. And I did not, like the book said, sit down for a few minutes each day and quiet your mind and write. Okay? Every time I got 100% nuts, crazy, I sat down and wrote until I got such a cramp I couldn't write anymore. Then I threw it aside, and it could be a week or a month or whatever, and I did that again. And I don't recommend that, because it is true that if you don't work the step will work you. And while I was ignoring the step, I was going crazy. And having said all that, I'll still take another 4-step before I have to do another 6-step. So I don't think that this thing had sense. And I did mine chronologically. Like I said, I try to go back to as far as I can remember, and at that point in time, and you know, it's so fabulous to have had the people in my life that I had in my life early on, and a few of them are here, and that's just incredible. I hope all of you can say that, you know, because it's phenomenal to be able to know two or three guys that I met right out of the gate or very early in recovery, and they're in the room with me today, let alone just doing this program. Is I don't get choked up real well, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. just telling you. They taught me everything was so extreme to me early in recovery, and everything was so absolute to me early in recovery that, you know, I had to figure out the definition to everything and have it like down pat before I could move on. And one of the things that about the 4-step that these guys taught me was there are steps to catch this stuff that you don't necessarily put into your 4-step later in recovery. Because I'd still be on it. You know, I was such a perfectionist that, you know, I'd have figured there's got to be something left. There has to be something I didn't put in here. You know, so it comes time to do my 5th step with me. A year to write my 4-step. It came time to do my 5th step with my sponsor, and still from the day I walked in here and I heard about this 4th and 5th step all the way up to then, having written a 4-step, I was not telling him the shit that was on that first page. I was not doing it, okay? And I was not doing it. You know, I'm not just being funny. I was not going to do it. And you know, there was like 5 things that were so embarrassing to me that I wasn't going to tell him. We sat down and we prayed. We were sitting on the living room floor in my house, and we sat down and we prayed. And he said, okay, let's do this. And I'm looking, and now I'm thinking, you know, you really probably should tell him. And the other guy's going, you ain't telling him, and you really probably should tell him. And now I got to the point where I thought, if I start on page 3, and I get to page 83, and I'm okay, then I can go back to page 1 and tell him that stuff at the end. So he's looking at me, and I'm not saying a word. You know? And all of a sudden, he said to me, if I told you what he said to me, you wouldn't be able to sell that tape. But he yanked something out of his 4-step, the worst thing he could possibly think of, and told me, just like that. Just said it to me like it was, I walked across the street at noon today. Just like that. Blew me away. You know, it just, there was a time, the lesson that he taught me was anonymity. What he taught me was that we're all equal. What he taught me was that what I had written on paper was not going to hurt me. What I had already done in the past was not going to hurt me, and that he was willing to go to any length to help me to do what I needed to do with that step. And 30 seconds later, I was reading like, I got one better than that. Come on, bring on another. He only gave me one. So we finished, and I got to tell you, and again, trying to be as honest as possible, there was no like music, there was no harps, there was none of that stuff when I got done with my 5th step. It was anguish, that I felt when I was done with my fifth step, and I was tired. It was tiring. It wore my ass to the ground. And just like all the steps, I thought that I knew what three was about, and I found out what three was about when I was writing four, and I found out what four was about when I was doing five. And the key to the fifth step for me was that stuff. You know, I know I got a big head, but like in terms of like this room, it's not all that big. And all that garbage that was in there and circling around for all those years, all I had to do was say it to somebody else, and it was okay. You know, it was okay. It's just, it's amazing how, you know, the other thing too is that it really, it takes you to a high water mark where there's no turning back. You know, it's like, you know, at that point, you gain an awareness at that point that it's going to be okay. You gain an awareness that you can do this, you know, because working the first three steps and getting a foundation is something that's very, very important. But starting with the fourth step is when we get busy here and when we deal and we recover. You know, like the first three steps is about you can sustain some serious abstinence with the first three steps, but I don't believe that I personally can recover until I get on four and get moving onward and clean the garbage up that's been inside of me all these years. And you know what my peers and my mentors from when I came into this program, my sponsor taught me that day was that I have the ability now to be able to go ahead and allow someone else to experience that freedom. And I have the ability to allow someone else to experience that serenity. And I got my first glimpse of serenity after I did my fifth step with my sponsor. And I was finally at peace, and you know, I didn't know it then, but I can tell you that I finally found a little bit of peace in mind and a little bit of solace, and I was finally able to look at myself in the mirror sometimes, and I was able to finally look and think that it's possible that this could really work for me, and think that it's possible that I could experience some kind of happiness and some kind of success in my life, and that's all the things that the fourth and fifth step were able to provide for me, and I just got little glimpses of it back then. Now, I guess the other thing that I wanted to tell you about, just so you know how horrible I am, is I was at my house another time working a fifth step with a guy that I sponsored, and I got to tell you, this kid short-armed this thing in a bad way. I knew more about him after having sponsored him for a year than he like got even close to putting on the paper. So, you know, we talk about this, and different people say you stay your fourth step, and different people say you get rid of your fourth step. When he gets done reading this fourth step to me, I give him a hug, and we're sitting in my game room, and I got a fire going. I said, throw it in the fireplace. And he threw it in the fireplace, and he smiled. He went, ah, and I said, now write another one. His jaw dropped down to here. And I explained to him why I wanted him to write another one, and he did. He wrote another one. He's still clean, and he still hates me for doing that. Tells everybody he knows, so I don't know. I just wanted to go on record as being the Grinch of the fifth step. That was pretty funny after he got done being mad at me 6 months later when he finished his next step. But he did it. You know, he did it because you guys taught me how to make him trust me. You guys taught me how to make him trust me with his feelings and trust me with his emotions. You know, the greatest gift that I derived from the fourth step was, and I still have this problem today, I had such a problem identifying what I was feeling. You know, what I was feeling was good or bad. How you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. I always said good. I never said bad. But no matter how bad I was doing, no matter how angry I was, no matter how upset I was, the fourth step unlocked the ability for me to be able to put a name on what I was feeling, you know? And through that, through that identification process, I was able to make progress in changing what made me feel that way, in finding out what caused me to feel that way, and finding out what the destructive type of patterns that I had developed, you know, and all of them, you know, all of the defects of character that I developed over the years, it allowed me to put my finger on them and to start to go to work on trying to deal with those things. I guess I'm going to get ready to wind this up here. The things that the most important thing that I can tell you is work the fourth step like you're not doing the fifth. It helped me. And to be searching and fearless, and like it says right in the step, and the reason why not thinking about having to tell anybody about this at the time helped me was because I really truly convinced myself that putting it on paper, as long as nobody had to read it, was not going to hurt anything. You know, and it really did help me to write some of this stuff down. I kind of wrote it in like, you know, I guess I don't want to say a biography form. I kind of, you know, I did it. I did it chronologically, and because it allowed me to walk my way up through different periods of my life, and there were gaps in it, but there were a bunch of half a dozen different turning points in my life. I got clean when I was 31, so there were some turning points in my life and periods of my life that were absolutely gone. I could not think of anything that happened from this age to this age and this age to this age. They were gone. But the ones that had the greatest influence on me were the ones I did remember, and they were the ones that I was able to write about. And as it turns out, they were the ones that I needed to write about. You know, so that's how I did it. I just brought it along from as far back as I can remember up to date, and you know, it kind of worked for me. I was able to unlock a lot of garbage, and I was able to at least get some kind of handle on what it was that made me feel bad about me, and that was very important for me in that step. And I also learned in a big way in doing the fourth and fifth step that the decisions that I make today, whether they're good decisions, they have a good effect on the people around me. And if I make bad decisions, they too had a bad effect on the people that are around me, because I thought I was only hurting myself, you know, and I thought that this step was just about me, and it's not, you know. And finally, the last thing that I'd like to talk about, and that seemed to not really get talked about a whole lot, because the fourth step has a reputation of being a monster. It has a reputation of being a bear. And you know, my God, it was the single greatest turning point in my recovery, bar none. There was nothing even comparable to having worked the fourth and fifth step to move forward and start to mature, because that's what I have to do here. You know, I have to mature here and grow out of my self-centeredness. I was able to identify some things that were able to stay okay about me, even though I didn't have a very high opinion of myself. That step and my sponsor and the rest of the people in my life made me take a look at the fact that there was truly something salvageable in this carcass. You know what I mean? And gave me reason at that point to continue on. Gave me reason to care about me. Because that's like the key to me being part of this, and today, then, it doesn't matter. When I care about me, and I'm okay with me, even just okay, I don't have to like me, even if I'm just okay with me, I will make the effort to continue to participate. When I see no value in that, I slide backwards, you know, and these are some of the patterns that I can, you know, that I can pick up on because I had the experience of working that step. So, you know, as it turns out, I had a couple of assets, you know, when I was done writing that step. You know, and I still was pretty much on that roller coaster. I believe that it's okay for me to say that I have a kind heart. I teach my children kindness. I teach them to be nice to people, and what I was able to do was to turn some of what I thought were flaws into strength in my recovery. I believe the exact opposite of everything the way that I believe now. You know, I believe that surrender was weakness. I believe that kindness was weakness. And I believe that that freedom was doing whatever I wanted to do. You know? So today I believe that freedom is having this monkey off my back, and freedom is having the ability to have an impact senior life. There's no greater freedom than to be able to stand here and hope that just one of you gets something, just one of you gets something out of what I said today. That's what it taught me. That's what the back end of that nasty ass step taught me, was that I do have something salvageable. I do have a reason to move on. And then I hit my 6-7. There was the character defects were all gone because I just got rid of them. 15 minutes after that, everything that came out of my mouth was a character defect. And I hated every single one of you. Spent 3 months that way, and then finally opened up the basic text one day, and it talked about being rebellious. We can be rebellious at this point in time. Rebellious, okay. All right, maybe I should read this book every once in a while. Anyway, this was great. This was fun. And I guess that the thing I got to tell you is just, if you haven't written your 4-step yet, please do yourself a favor and make a searching and fearless moral inventory to the best of your ability, and give yourself the break that it gave me. Give yourself the lift that it gave me to seriously start to continue on. It's the difference between abstinence and recovery is steps 4 through 9. And not just those steps, but steps 4 through 9 are the difference between abstinence and recovery and slavery and freedom. It's given me a chance today, and it's unlocked the demons inside of me. And you know, I know that sounds a little bit corny, but it's really, really true, you know. And I'd like to thank everybody that had anything to do with this, and thank all you guys for listening.